Father, we thank you for the might and the power of your Holy Spirit that teaches us all things, that leads us and guides us into all truth. And we thank you, Lord, that even right now in this very instant, there is a strengthening power of your Spirit in our innermost being, so that we are able to comprehend that which you want to deliver unto us today, and that you are giving unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the eyes of our understanding being open, so that not only do we know what is the hope to which you have called us, but Father God, there is insight and comprehension as to how we are to function in you, in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Praise the Lord. Let's get straight to the word. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, we've been talking about the nature of God and functioning in God's nature. And today, readers, we're going to be talking about functioning in the nature of God by faith, by the faith of Christ. Here is the deal. From the very, very beginning, from before the foundation of the world, it was always God's plan for you and I to be a partaker of his divine nature, to have his very nature, and to function from that nature, his nature that is in us. It hasn't changed. God's nature is love, it's righteousness, it's holiness, it's peace, it's power, it's truth, it's justice. God is merciful, he's gracious, he's faithful, he is kind, he's benevolent. He is perfect in all of his ways. Now, God wants to duplicate, it was his plan from the foundation of the world, to duplicate himself in man, in us. In Genesis chapter 1, it is for that reason that in Genesis chapter 1, when time came and he created man, he said this, let us make man in what? In our image. And in our likeness, and let them have dominion, let them have authority, let them subdue, let them be fruitful, let them multiply, let them rule over the birds and over the fish, let them rule over everything. We see in the book of Hebrews that God placed all things to be in subjection underneath us, and we under him. Now, God creating man in his own image and giving him his own nature, it is out of that very nature that God, his own nature that he was going to impart to man, it is out of that nature that as man functioned in that nature, he was going to be able to have dominion, to rule, to reign, multiply, subdue, and all of that. Well, it got messed up. And the fall of man took place. And man was separated from God. And instead, what happened is because of man's fall, he was now a partaker of the sin nature, which is the devil's nature. Amen? Man fell and man contracted the disease of sin nature, which is the very nature of the devil, full of pride, selfishness, self-centeredness, independence of God. Now, Jesus came to correct that. To correct what? To correct it and to set it back to where God had originally designed it, so that God's dream and vision and hope will still come to pass. So Jesus went to the cross. What for? So as to destroy the works of the devil. And the work of the devil was that sin nature. Amen. It was that sin nature. It was not just the sins and the wrongdoings, but it was the very nature, the very root of it, the nature of sin. So it says in John 3 and verse 8, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested. What for? To destroy, to dissolve, to wipe out, to bring to naught the works of the devil, that sin nature. And that is why when we get born again, what happens? What happens is that we literally get the nature of God. You see, when Jesus was planted into this earth, and then Jesus went to the cross, he said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it remains a single seed. It abides alone. But if it die, what happens? It brings forth much fruit. In other words, Jesus went to the cross, sacrificed himself as a seed. What for? For this purpose, to duplicate himself in us. Amen? And as he is, so are we in this world. Now, that's, as I was saying, that sin nature is not just wrongdoing. It is the very nature of the devil. The devil was a sinner. He was a liar. He was a murderer. He was a thief from the very beginning, from the day iniquity was found in him. And it is that he infected us with. But then when we get born again, what has happened? We are born again by the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, having left that old sin nature through crucifixion and burial, and having that passed away, we were resurrected. We were raised up together with Christ. And by the resurrection of Christ, we were born again to a living hope. Christ in us is the hope of glory. We were born again to a new nature, the very nature of God. That is now part of our inheritance. We are now in the reality that Christ in us is the hope of glory. That nature of God is now ours. He has brought us into the very glory of God. Jesus did not just come to get us a ticket to heaven. The scripture says he came to bring many sons to glory. Well, the glory is the very essence of God. The glory is as the sum total of all of God's divine attributes. And we are brought into that glory. Jesus prayed, Father, the glory that you've given me, I've given them, that they may be one, just like you and I are one. Hallelujah. We have obtained the glory of God. Christ in us is the hope of glory. Christ in us is the very nature of God. Say, God's nature is in me. The scripture says that he has given us great and precious promises so that by these he might unveil and reveal unto us what is the divine nature so that we can take a hold and be partakers of that divine nature. This new man has been created in righteousness and true holiness. This new man, old things have passed away. Everything from the past was crucified, was buried. That old nature. Know ye not that as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. You've been baptized into his death. And that old man, that old sin nature has been crucified. It is buried and it is gone. Now all things have, behold, I like behold. Behold, all things have become new. All things are now of God. It is now the love of God that is shed abroad in your heart. It is now the peace of God that passeth all understanding. It is now the joy of the Lord that is your strength. It is now the righteousness of God. You are made the righteousness of God. You are created in righteousness and true holiness. The very nature and the very essence of the being of God is on the inside of us. Hallelujah. Say, I got it. Amen. So you have God's divine nature. As Jesus is, so are we in this world. When? Right now. Say right now. So you have God's divine nature. Christ in you is the nature of God. It is the nature of God in you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Jesus has now duplicated himself in us. Amen. So, what has to happen now? So here, the first part of what God wanted to start with was that we would be a duplicate of him, that we would be a partaker of his divine nature, but he also wanted us to function in that nature. Because you see, the very functioning in the nature of God, that nature is victory. That nature is what defeats the enemy. That nature is what causes the miracles, the signs, the wonders. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, all of the teaching, all of the preaching, all of the studying of this and faith and righteousness and sacrifice, it is to bring us to this point. It is to bring us to this point that we would actually function in the nature of God and that Christ would not only be in us, but that he would live through us. That's the end point. Are you with me? Say, we're here right now. I really believe for a lot of us in the body of Christ, this is where we are, and this is what the Spirit of God is about. Which is not to say that those other things are not important, but it was to bring us to this point. Say, we're here. Hallelujah. So, this we are to now function in that nature of God, and that nature of God is to literally dominate us. Dominate us. So dominate us, as the scripture says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be continually filled and consumed with what? The Holy Spirit. God wants us to be filled and consumed with the Holy Spirit. The scripture says in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18, like I'm saying, it's not just that Christ is in us. It's not just that we have the nature of God. We must acknowledge that. We must recognize that we have the nature of God. But now God wants us to function in that nature. 1 John 4 verse 9 says, in this the love of God was manifested towards us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world. What for? That we might be saved, yes. That we might have eternal life, yes. But it says, God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. That we might live through him. That we might live the life that comes through him. And that he would live through us. Amen? Blessed be the name of the Lord. So it brings us to this point then. How do we function in this nature? Now, if we break it down, we could be asking, how do we function in the love of God? How do we function in faith? How do we function in the kindness, the gentleness? How do we function in the power? Do you not know that the same power that raised up Christ from the dead dwells inside of us? How do we function in the authority of God? How do we function in this nature? Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 and 21. Let's look at it. Because the answer is right there. Glory to God. How do we function in the nature of God? Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, I am crucified with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Now, what happened with those? What happened with people that are crucified? What happened when someone is crucified? Dead. Right? So dead, you might as well bury them. Why? So that they're not there anymore. So that they cease to exist. So that they cease to have voice, influence. So you and I have been crucified with Christ so that old things might pass away. You have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, you live. Yet, not you. But it is Christ that liveth in you. We must not become so familiar with the scriptures that they don't mean anything anymore. Yes, we are to be familiar with the scriptures from the standpoint that it becomes somewhat like muscle memory and it gets engrafted in us, but not to the point where we just read it and don't recognize what it is saying, and where we stop believing it or we don't even believe it to start with. Believe it. You have been crucified with Christ. Crucified, dead, buried, gotten rid of. And now the life that you now live when you are born again, it is the life of Christ, and you live it by the faith of the Son of God. How do we function in this new nature? How do we function in the life of Christ? The life of Christ is the nature of God. How do we function in that life of nature? The life that we now live, we live by the? By what? The faith of the Son of God. Say the faith of the Son of God. Now let's change it. Say the faith of Christ. Say it again. So how do you live this life? How are we going to function in this nature? By the faith of Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. Why? That this might be so. And then it goes on to say in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 21, I do not set aside or frustrate the grace of God, because if righteousness came by the works, then Jesus died in vain. I do not frustrate the grace of God, because if me being crucified and it no longer being me, but it being the life of Christ living in me, if that came by the works of the law, by my own, my goodness and my own doings, then Jesus, there was no point for Jesus to have died. Then why was he slain? But here is the thing, this righteousness, this oneness with God, this reality that is no longer you, but it is now Christ that liveth in you, did not come based on the works. It came because of what? The sacrifice of Christ. Because Jesus was died, buried, resurrected, ascended to the Father's right hand, took his blood into the throne room of God, and has given us his name, and has given us his life, and has given us his very self, speaking the word of God, it is written, giving us divine utterance and declaring the promises of God. That's the reason why we have this righteousness. We have this oneness with God. We have this life of Christ living in us because of his sacrifice. Well, if it is because of his sacrifice, then it would then it also tells me that how do I have this life of Christ? How do I live and function in this life of Christ? How do I function in the sacrifice of Christ? How do I function in the nature of God and the life of Christ? The answer is by the sacrifice of Christ. Now, last week we discussed that. It is on the record. You could go listen to it. We're not going there today. Where we are going today is we want to talk about the reality of how do we function and about functioning in this life of Christ, this nature of God, by the faith of the Son of God. That is our focus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. How do you function in the nature of God? Well, we got our answer by the faith of, by the what? By the faith of? The life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, by the faith of Christ. Now, this is a big deal. This faith of Christ, and I know the sacrifice too, is a big deal. Here's why it's a big deal. To function in the nature of God is huge. First of all, it's God's desire. It is God's hope. It was God's dream. It is the thing that God wanted more than anything else, so much so that he gave his only begotten son to die a horrible death. Why? Because this is what he wanted, that we would have that nature and function in that nature. It is a big deal. Here's why it's a big deal. Everything. Now, think about this. Go back, meditate on it. Everything that is in the nature of God overcomes the world, overcomes the devil. Everything that is of the nature of God is absolute victory. 1 John 5:4 says, whatever, I know we sometimes speak of it as whosoever, but it's actually whatever. Whatever is born of God does what? Overcome it. Overcome it. Overcome it. Regarding the fruits of the Spirit, it says, against such there is no law. Love never fails. Faith quenches every fiery dart of the devil. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Righteousness rules over all. Righteousness activates the kingdom. The kingdom of God rules over all. So everything that is of God overcomes, and it's total victory. So when you and I can function in the love of God, in the faith of God, in the righteousness of God, in the mercy of God, and in the very essence of his being, and in the glory of God, what happens? It is absolute total victory every time in every situation. Amen? And God wants us to rule. God wants us to have victory. God wants us to be above only and never beneath. So he has not only given us his nature, but he wants us to function in that nature. So to function in that nature, as I said, that is the end point, and that is the absolute victory. So since the faith of Christ is going to cause you to function in the nature of God, it makes the faith of Christ a big deal. Say a big deal. All right, so let's study it. Don't you think?
Yes.
Let's look at it. Hallelujah. Now, this faith of Christ is for the specific purpose that you may live in the reality of righteousness. In other words, it is not just, you see, I thank God for the Word of God. I thank God for understanding. I thank God for comprehending various things in the Word of God. But that's good, but it's not good enough. It must become our experience. It must become our life. It must become our testimony. You see, when you live in the past, and when you live out of self, when you live based on your history, your background, and all of those other things, you are living, that's your history. You're living your history. But God don't want you to live your history anymore. That is why he got it, put it to an end, and those things are passed away. Forget those things that are behind. Well, what does God want? God don't want you to have the experience of your history anymore. He wants you to have the experience of Jesus. Jesus and his life is now to become your experience. And Christ is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification. Christ is your righteousness. Christ is your righteousness. Christ is the nature of God. Righteousness is the nature of God. Now, so this faith of Christ is for the specific purpose of bringing you into the place where you can have the experiential reality of righteousness, where you can have the reality and the experience of what? This oneness that you have with God, which is what righteousness is, where you can have the experience of living in the authority of God, in the authority of Christ, in the power of his name. You know, many times we all love the word from Old Covenant, New Covenant, Old Testament, New Testament. But it is so important as we study the word of God to get a hold of it from a new covenant perspective. And the scripture says in Proverbs 18 and verse 10 that the name of the Lord is a high tower. And it is it not? And the righteous run it into it and is safe. Well, that's good. And I know there's an application there. But you know something? You and I, we don't have to run into the name of the Lord. You know why? We live there. We are born of the name of the Lord. We were born of the name. We live in this name. This is our authority. This is our reality. The life, the name of Jesus, the life is in the name. Glory to God. Are you with me? So here, so in other words then, this faith of Christ is to cause us to have as our own personal experience and testimony the reality of righteousness, the reality of the oneness that we have with God in Christ, that as he is, so am I in this world. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. He is the vine and I am the branch. The same sap that flows in the vine flows in me as the branch. He is the head, I am the body. We've got the same name, so that that might be a reality and that might be where we are functioning from. And this faith of Christ is to bring us there. You see, this faith of Christ, we're going to get there in a little while. But it is exactly Christ's faith. It is the faith of who? Christ. And you might say, well, I don't have it. Are you blessed with every spiritual blessing? Would you say the faith of Christ is a spiritual blessing? Well, then you must got it. The question is, how do we draw it out? So this is to bring us into this reality. Oh, of being of the righteousness of God in Christ, which is that oneness with him, which is that authority of Christ, but which is also this awesome thing that they call right standing. Oh, as if sin has never been justified. So if I'm justified as if sin has never been, as if sin has never existed, as if I've never done anything wrong, then I am in the place whereby in his sight I am holy. I am without fault and in his presence. Oh, glory to God, because of that shed blood and the reality of justification. There is no condemnation. Who is he that condemneth? It is God that has justified me. Where is the guilt? Guilt over what? All things have passed. The sin is gone. It's removed, not discovered. It is remitted. Shame. What do you mean shame? He is the lifter up of my head. I'm covered. I am covered with the glory of God. I mean, he has wiped away all of that shame. Now he has given me, he has clothed me with righteousness. He has given me the garment of salvation. What shame are we talking about? So the reality of this justification and this righteousness is, no matter who may try to condemn, no matter who may try to accuse, who is he that will accuse? The accuser, he's been cast down. And anyone else that might try to accuse, it really doesn't matter. Because you know why? I'm crucified and they're crucified. So the reality of this righteousness must be so impactful that we can live here. God wants us to live here because you are here. And then, of course, there is the rights, the privileges. Oh, because I am a son of God. We are sons of God. We are children of God. Our citizenship is in heaven. We've got all of the rights. We are a joint heir with Christ. We are an heir of God. All the promises of God are unto you. Yes, amen, certainty. Not maybe, maybe not, but absolutely. Hallelujah. We've got rights. See, I've got rights. All of this is what comes out of this righteousness. And this faith of Christ is for this very purpose and this very intent, that you might live in the reality of righteousness. Justification.
Now look at this again. Because we're right here, Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. I'd love to read the whole passage, but let's look at verse 16. It says, knowing this, that a man, now let me address this right now. Because I have a new King James here. All right? In the old King James, the new King James will say faith in Christ. The new King James and even some other versions. The old King James will use the phrase the faith of Christ. There is a difference. And I'll give you a couple of references. Galatians 2:16, Galatians 2:20, Philippians 3 verse 9. Amen? And a number of other references, you could chase them down. But there is a difference. You see, my faith in Christ, that salvation is what gave me the salvation package. When I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he was raised up from the dead, that got me saved. But this faith of Christ is the means by which I am to function in this nature. To function, watch this, to function as if I were him. I'm not him. But he is my identity. That is, it is for the functioning. Yes, anyway, so Galatians 2 verse 16 says justification. Right standing. Knowing this, that a man is justified not by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. What am I saying? That faith of Christ is what we are justified by. Justified means just as if sin has never existed, which is to put us back into the place from before the fall, before God ever said, let there be light. And the plans and the purposes that God has for you are from before the foundation of the world. Before you ever were conceived in your mother's womb, before God even said there was light, God had chosen you. God had called you. God had spoken things concerning you. God had separated you unto himself. And God had given you grace and purpose. But when Jesus came into your life and you were born again, he is the one that brings all of this wonderful stuff that was prepared from the foundation of the world, that was the plan and the purposes of God for your life that has already been established in heaven before there was ever any fall. When Jesus comes and he appears in your life, the reason he is here is to bring those things to pass. Yes. What God has spoken concerning you, all that God has said concerning you will come to pass as the life of Christ that is in you flows through you. And that's what we're talking about. It's wonderful to have the love of God shed abroad in your heart. But we need to function in it. We need it to flow through us. That may mean sometimes the very one that betray you, you might rejoice and give thanks. Because without that betrayal, there is no cross. There is no salvation. So thank God for the Judases. Hello? Hello? But it's going to take the faith of Christ. It's going to take the love of God to remit their sins. All right. So in other words, then, we've got this nature, but we got to function in it. Come on, move on. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So this faith of Christ is specifically for the purpose of living in this righteousness, living in this justification. Ha, ha, ha. I just saw a little thought I had there. Anyway, you know, as we talk about the authority of God, the authority of Christ that is now ours. Jesus says, behold, all power has been given unto me, both in heaven and on earth. All power, everything bows to him. By him all things consist. Without him there was nothing made that was made. Principalities, powers. Things present, things to come, visible and invisible, all subject to him, all subject to that nature. And that is the nature, that is the authority that you and I have. The word has gone out of his mouth in righteousness, that unto me every knee shall bow of things in heaven, things on earth, and every tongue will confess that he's Lord. That's the authority that we have in the name of Jesus. Now, when you recognize that, and you are seated where? In Christ. Where is that? Far above all principalities of powers. You are to function from the throne room of God. You function from the ascended life of Christ. And in that place, Jesus has defeated all the works of the enemy. Here is some news, and this is good news. Everything that the devil has ever done or could ever do, you rule over it. In other words, all that the enemy has ever done is now your footstool. You know, we talk about the devil as being a tormentor. Oh, let us awake to the reality of righteousness, the reality of our authority, and you will become the devil's tormentor. We will torment the tormentor. Ha, ha, ha. What am I saying? I am provoking you to come up to the reality of who you are in Christ and to recognize that the only way, the way God has made possible for us to function in that is by the sacrifice of Christ, what Jesus finished, and by the reality and the revelation of the faith of the Son of God, the faith of Christ. Hallelujah. Say, I receive that. Amen. Now, this faith of Christ is a mature faith. It is more than the saving faith. You know, we are saved by grace through faith, not of works, as any man should boast. Thank God for that. God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Let me say this. It is more than that. It is that same faith, but that faith at a level and a place whereby Christ is the one, and it is now, he is the one that now operates it. And he should. It is his life. He's living through you. You are his temple. You are his hands. You are his eyes. You are even his voice. So of course it should be him operating this stuff. Does this make sense? Say, I receive this. Now, I might be saying some stuff, but I know your spirit that delights in the word of God is receiving this. Hallelujah. So, Paul said to the Thessalonians, in 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 10, Paul said, man, I've been praying for you guys. Oh, he says, I want to come see you. I miss you. I want to give you a hug, and I want to minister to you. I want us to spend some time together and fellowship. But he said, you know what? I want to see you because I want to perfect what is lacking in your faith. In other words, I want to pull your faith up a little bit higher. And he's going to talk later on in the next chapter, chapter 4, verse 3. He's going to talk about being called to sanctification, being called to this place of separation, being called to this place of abandonment to Christ, where it's no longer you, but it's the life of Christ, where it's not your will anymore, it's his will. It's not even your plans and your dreams, it's his plans. It's not even what you promise yourself, it's what he has promised. It is not what you are hoping for, it is what he has already established in heaven. Paul is going to call them to that place of sanctification. Just a few verses after, he said, I want to perfect what's lacking in your faith. I want to pull you up into a higher place of faith. Listen to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let me just read from verse 11. It says, you know, how when Jesus ascended up on high, he gave gifts to men. He gave people, individuals, as a gift to the body of Christ, as a gift of a prophet or apostle or a pastor or a teacher or an evangelist. What for? For the perfecting, for the maturing of the saints. Quite frankly, to bring the saints to a place where they will be able to actually have the promises of God fulfilled in their lives and what God has spoken concerning them to become their reality and their experience. You see, the centrality of Christ in you and the hope of glory is what it's all about, that he might reveal his son in you and through you. Anyway, let's continue. Verse 12. So for the equipping of the saints and for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, verse 13, this is the verse I want you to see. Until what? Until we all come to the unity of the faith. The unity of the faith. That oneness of the faith. That absolute harmony of the faith. What faith? And of the knowledge of the Son of God. They're connected. the knowledge of the Son of God, the exact, accurate knowledge of Christ himself, and an intimacy with that knowledge. That word knowledge has to do with intimacy. Adam knew Eve, they got a baby. There is an intimacy in this knowledge, the very essence of eternal life, that we might know him. So he says that you might come to this unity of the faith and to this accurate, intimate knowledge and relationship with the Son of God. To a perfect man, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now go read the Amplified, but receive this. Until we come to the maturity, the fullness of Christ himself, his own perfection, and requires this to come to that place, which is his life, the fullness of his life, the fullness of him that fill it all in all. It requires a oneness of faith, a purity of faith, and the full and the accurate knowledge and intimacy with the Son of God. This life, coming to the full measure of the stature of Christ, this life of Christ is possible, but it is possible by the faith of Christ. The faith of Christ, and that faith is in you. You have the faith of Christ because he's blessed you with every spiritual blessing. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 says, according as what? As we have received like precious faith as the saints, as the apostles and all of them, through the righteousness which is of God. So if you've got this faith in your born-again spirit, and if this faith of Christ, God is not asking you to function in something that doesn't exist or that he hasn't already given you. But if we've got it, then we got to be able to draw it out. Say, draw it out. All right. So how can we draw this faith out of your spirit? How can we align? That's another way of putting it. How can we align with this faith of Christ? Amen? It's about alignment. So, now this is so critical. You must see yourself as absolutely yoked together with Christ. You must see yourself as being absolutely yoked together with Christ. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30, he says, all you that are burdened and heavily laden, come to me and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. I'm meek and I'm lowly in heart. He says, take my yoke. Come, get yoked together with me. Take my yoke. I'm going to carry the load. Amen. You know, like you have a little cow, big cow, and you put a yoke together. Who you think does the work? Big cow. Amen. So he says, come be yoked together with me. But this, the depth of this yoking that he's talking about, I don't know if words can describe it. It is so that we are so immersed in Christ. You are so immersed in him that you cannot be found. Paul said, I want to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but the righteousness, which is of God by faith. Be found. You are so immersed that you can't find you. Colossians 3, verse 3 puts it this way. It says, you are dead, and your life is what? Your life is what? Hid with Christ in God. Well, I'm telling you, if God hides something, nobody ain't gonna find it. Amen. Where you are so immersed, so hid, your life is so hid with Christ. You know, that is what the scripture is talking about in Romans chapter 6 and verse 3. Know ye not that of many of you, as have been baptized into Christ, you were baptized and immersed into his death, and you were buried with him by baptism to get rid of you, and that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, you too are raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. So now you ought to live in the newness of life. You have been immersed into Christ, yoked together, buried with him. The only you that there now is, is Christ living through you as you. Am I making this up? No, I'm not. Colossians 3, verse 6, verse 3, you are dead, your life is hid with Christ in God, and when Christ who? is your life shall appear. Then shall you also appear with him in glory. That's in the word. So you have been dead, buried, gone, and now cease to exist, come to an end. Now it's the life of Christ. The life you live is the life of Christ. His life has now become your life. Oh, behold, what manner of love that we should be called the sons of God. Herein is the love of God made perfect, that you and I might have boldness and confidence in the day of judgment. For what? For as he is, so are you in this world. See, I believe that. Hallelujah. So as a result of that, that is why the scripture will say, hey, present your body and present yourself as a living sacrifice. All of your faculties, everything, presented unto him. Your will is not your own. It is now the will of God. The scripture says, and I'm not talking about your natural will. I'm talking about the will of your spirit. Romans, you see, we have got to make an absolute radical identification with the truth of the word of God, the truth of who you are in Christ, the truth of what he has finished, the truth of who he is in you, the truth of what he is speaking, saying, and has spoken. We have got to absolutely be yoked together with the truth. And the truth is, this new man that is created in righteousness and true holiness, his meat is to do the will of God. This new man, he delights in the law of God after the inner man, Romans 7:22. He delights in it. That's his joy. That's his rejoicing. That is his will. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So here is what the faith of God, Christ, looks like. Amen. Because you are swallowed up in this Christ oneness. You're swallowed up in there. It is not what I purpose myself. It is what he has promised. It's not what I promise myself. It's what he has promised. And go back and check out Abraham. God is the one that promised Abraham way back in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3. That I'm going to make your name great. And out of you, I'm going to bring nations. That was God's promise. So when time comes for the fulfillment, it wasn't about it wasn't because Abraham promised himself, you know, God, I got to have a child. I mean, like, where is this baby going to come from? Is it going to come from Eliezer? You haven't given me a child. God is the one that has promised it. It's not what he promised himself. And then when he made that shift, guess what? Within a year, there was a baby. Amen. It is not what I believe to happen. It is what God has spoken. Abraham made that shift. And Abraham recognized that, wait a minute. I'm already a father of many nations. It already exists in the realm of the spirit. And then the scripture says, he believed according as it was spoken. And he was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to fulfill. So it's not about what I promised myself. It's what God has promised me. What I believe to happen. It is what God has spoken. It is not my hope. I'm hoping for this or I'm hoping for that. But it's not what I'm hoping for God to do. Listen to this. But it is what he hopes that is already done. Colossians 1 verse 5 says that hope is laid up in heaven. Which means what? It is done. That hope is laid up for you in heaven. It is what God hoped for that is already done. That you were born again to. That living hope and that inheritance. So you are using your faith. Now, no, check this out. Remember, it's not you, it's Christ. And it is his faith. You just come in such alignment that it is his faith, his purpose, his will, his promise. It is all about him. And that is why the issue of sanctification and separation is so important. Can you imagine if the vine is not anchored properly in the branch, or the branch is not anchored properly in the vine? What's going to happen? Is it going to bring forth the right fruit that looks like the kind of tree it is? So there is this sanctification, there is this anchoring, there is this fusion, so to speak. So When you recognize that, then you are no longer using your faith for what you are believing, but you are using your faith for what he has spoken. According as it is written, according as it is spoken, I believe, and therefore do I speak. It is in this place of sanctification that Christ takes over. It is his life. It is the faith of Christ. It is in this place, you see, that the old things are gone, and the new is now here. Christ is living in you and through you. What for? To bring all that God has spoken concerning you to pass. 2 Timothy 1 verse 10. Amen. To bring it all to pass. Now let's wrap this up. Let's be in Ephesians. Let's walk through these. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 9 to 12. And I can see the landing strip. Right? I can see it. It's right over on the right side of the plane. Can you see it? Paul said, you know, this ministry and this call that is on my life and this responsibility that I have in ministering this word, he says, here's what it is, what it's all about, verse 9. It is to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. It is to make all men see what is their part in this mystery. For it is to make all men come to this realization and this revelation of this mystery, which is Christ in them, the hope of glory. And that I might declare that. Into this fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages, remember, this God had his plan from way before there was, he said, let there be light. From the beginning of the ages was hidden in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent. Now, what was this all about? Why did this truth need to get out there, that it's Christ in you, that we must get a hold of that? Why? For this purpose. To the intent. For this purpose. What purpose? That now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church, the called out ones. You might be made known by the church. This was God's intent, that might be made known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God unto the principalities and the powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. We said, but you don't want the devil to hear. You don't want the devil to know what's going on. God says, I want you to let them know. This is my intent. Christ is in you, the hope of glory, and I want you to declare unto them my wisdom. Tell them what the word of God say. Tell them that there are ashes underneath your feet. Tell them that you've got authority. Tell them, give them the word of God. Tell them about, sit the devil down. Preach to him about the blood. Declare unto him the blood. Declare unto him aspects of your redemption. Tell him, let him know that he has been cast down. Let him know he has no voice to you anymore because you have overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. Talk to him about it, to let them know what is unto the principalities and powers, the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purposes which God had accomplished in Christ Jesus, according to the eternal purpose, for the purposes that God had from before the foundation, and it was accomplished in Christ. First, it was accomplished when he was slain from before the foundation of the world, and then it was confirmed or ratified 2,000 years ago on the cross. And then now, in whom? In Christ. We have boldness and access with confidence. And here's that verse again in the Old King James. We have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. By the faith of Christ, you have got boldness and access, not just to the throne of God, but you've got boldness and access to those principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world. You have got boldness and you've got confidence You are more than a conqueror. You are God's battle axe. You are not some weakling. You are strong in the Lord. You've got the whole armor of God. You are stepping into a battle where the battle is the Lord's and the battle is already won. You don't come into this thing as a victim. You don't come into this thing as, oh, me and the devil, we are equal and he is on that side. No, we are not equal. You're not dealing with him as an equal. You are above only and not beneath. You've got the keys to bind and to loosen. You are a sharp threshing instrument having teeth. You are the battle axe of God in the hands of the Spirit of God. You got to have that kind of mindset. That is the spirit of the faith of Christ. The faith of Christ is for the impossible. The world has got to see the manifestations of the power of God for them to believe. Hallelujah. You see, remember when it says in John chapter 14, Jesus says, he that believeth in me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these. At a first glance, you might think Jesus was saying, he that believeth in me, once you've accepted Jesus as Savior and Lord, the works that I do, you're going to do also, and greater works than these. He that believeth the way I believe, he that believes that like I believe, the works that I do, he's going to do also, because I've gone to the Father, and now I'm living in him and through him. And whatever you demand as your right, whatever you demand you, Jesus says, I am going to do it. I'll see to it that it's done. But you got to come into this faith. It is by this faith of Christ that we function in the nature of God. Jesus was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. How did he do it? He did it by sacrificing himself. Well, you've got the same call. Your purpose is to destroy the works of the devil. How are you going to do it? The same way. By the application of the sacrifice of Christ. Who destroyed the works of the devil? Jesus did. So how is it going to be destroyed now? Jesus is going to have to do it, but through you. Are you with me? That is why it's all about Christ in you and Christ living through you. It is about the centrality of Christ. God says, when I call you from your mother's womb, it was for this purpose, to reveal my son in you and that you might declare and proclaim him among the Gentiles. It was to reveal my son in you and that you would be the fragrance of him in every place. You would be the epistle of him to be read of all men. He came as a seed and he died. What for? Not to remain a single seed, but to be multiplied, to duplicate himself. And that's why you are here. That's what it's all about. But it's going to take the faith of Christ, this maturity. And you can't function in this without us an abandonment. You cannot function in this without a separation and a sanctification where it's no longer about you because you came to an end. You cannot function in this without humility. You see, the scripture says, we have access into this grace. How? By faith. We have access into this grace by faith. We are saved by grace through faith. It is a faith that it might be by grace. So there is this access into the grace by faith. But it also says, God says, I will give grace to who? The humble. So you have access by faith, but no humility, no grace. And grace is the provision. Grace is the empowerment. So there is this connection with this faith and this humility. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. We're talking about the mind of Christ. We're talking about the faith of Christ. He humbled himself. He says, it's not about me. He humbled himself and he was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And as a result, the Father highly exalted him. Well, it's the same for us. This is what we're talking about. Say the faith of Christ. Say it again. Say, I got it. And by the grace of God, I'm drawing it out. In the name of Jesus, I come into a place of sanctification, separation to the will of God, to the purpose of God, to what he has spoken, to what he desires, to what he has finished. I am not my own. I am bought with a price. I belong to him. I glorify him. My meat is to do his will. I live this life by the faith of the Son of God. I am the just, and I live by faith, his faith, the faith of Christ. Amen? You receive that? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.